Sean Patrick Maloney is the Democratic from New York's 18th District, in office since 2013. He has not been quiet when it comes to speaking his mind and on the national level, and a lot of people are hearing from him. So, Sean, if I can, I want to talk to you about the coronavirus and a recession. We know that the market has been really hitting the skids, terrible, terrible. 2,000 points down. Is this of great concern to you? And what's the proper response?
It is of great concern to me, and of course, no one is to blame in the first instance for a virus. But the response at the federal level, as we've spoken about, has been very inadequate and too slow to get moving. That has created uncertainty and fear. And, of course, fear can drive a market down even more powerfully than greed can drive a market up. And that is what we're seeing first and foremost. In addition to that, we're starting to see wires being tripped when you see this type of slowdown around the world. So the compression in global oil prices is at the heart of this dispute between Russia and Saudi Arabia and the disagreement among OPEC countries that has spooked the markets as we're speaking. But these things are related. And of course, they're all amenable to U.S. leadership if it is proactive, if we are in the middle of these conversations around the globe, so that as these stresses get put on the financial system, we're responding in real time. There doesn't need to be a fight between the Saudis and the Russians that can be mediated. There are other steps we can take proactively to lessen the impact on the economy, because it will be severe under any circumstances, but there are some things under our control. We can mitigate the worst effects, or we can make it worse by our incompetence, and that is why the White House response concerns me so much.
And so how do we avoid this fear? You know, FDR talked about the only thing we have to fear is fear itself, and now we see this fear, which is enveloping all of us. Is there a way to sort of mitigate that without falsifying what's actually going on?
Yes, and I think that we look to our leaders in times of crisis to do that. What I would like is for the president to simply build credibility by giving accurate, science-based information. I want families in my congressional district to know that they're going to be okay, and we are going to be okay. We're going to get through this. But how we respond, what we do now, what we should have done a month ago, 6 weeks ago, really matters. And so we need to get our act together immediately. As we've discussed, there is $8 billion coming from the federal level to strengthen the response. That's good. But we have to do more testing. It is unacceptable that the South Koreans can test 200,000 people. We've tested under 2,000. That's unacceptable. We have to, therefore, increase our capacity through testing to do better tracing and to do better containment. We're pretty far down the road right now, so we have to do the best mitigation we can as well. But the good news, if there is any, is that overwhelmingly people who get the coronavirus come through it just fine. Kids seem to do even better than adults, but we have to protect our vulnerable populations. So if you have a senior at home, you may want to have them avoid crowds for a while. If you're thinking about going out, you may want to think about where you're going. You know, seniors shouldn't be going on cruise lines right now. We need to be extra careful at nursing homes. They need protocols for who comes in. There needs to be better screening of people for the symptoms of flu or coronavirus. They're doing this in other countries around the world. And these are the kinds of steps that will give people confidence that everything that can be done is being done. And that will calm the markets, but most importantly, it will allow all of us to behave in a rational way, not led by fear, but led by science. And the good news is that if we all work together as a community, we're going to come through this.
So I guess I really want to ask you a question, because a lot of people are writing me, and they're saying that Trump is going to call off the election one way or the other and hide behind the coronavirus. Would the American people stand for such a thing if it actually happened?
Well, I certainly hope not, and that would be obviously an extraordinary piece of power if it was motivated by a desire to influence the outcome of the election. There will be an impact on the way we conduct this election And that's to be expected. There may be a need to curtail some of these large gatherings, rallies, and in other areas where large numbers of Americans gather. But we've got plenty of lead time, both to combat the virus and to plan for the election in a way that will allow our democracy to move forward as scheduled under our laws and constitution, and nothing about this epidemic should affect that.
Well, but I'm sorry for pushing this, Sean, but what if, I mean, I just wrote a column in which I say it's probably unlikely, but what if the guy did that? What would the response be? People with pots and pans out into the street, people going further than that, because that hasn't seemed to work in the past with this guy. What could be done?
Look, Alan, I don't think it's responsible for someone in my position to begin speculating wildly about those kinds of theories. I understand the concern. I understand the concern, and it's rooted in some of the past behavior of this president, and that's the sad reality. So I understand where people are coming from on that. I think if people are concerned about making a change in this country, the number one thing they should do is get engaged. And I don't care what your political party is or what your political philosophy is, get engaged. Go out and vote, and a decisive outcome in this election will be the kind of thing that is immune from the kind of shenanigans that any politician wants to pull. You know, we had a free and fair election in 2018. We were able to keep foreign interference to a minimum. The American people spoke in overwhelming numbers and made a real change in the direction of the Congress. There's no reason to believe that can't happen again. People need to participate, and people like me are going to be watching it like a hawk, and you're going to hear me scream if there's any funny business going on.
I only have 2 minutes, but I wanted to ask you real quickly. You know, you had impeachment. So in your view, did the impeachment, without a conviction, did the impeachment change anything in America?
I think what the impeachment process did is that it laid down a very important marker for what is right and what is wrong, and what our responsibilities are as a co-equal branch of government when we see a president abusing his office. And the evidence of the facts supported that action, and they will only continue to do so as we learn all of the facts and all of the evidence comes out, as it surely will in the coming months and years. Because remember, we did a very fast investigation in the House. There was no special counsel. There was no FBI team of agents doing interviews or evidence. It was all done by the House Intelligence Committee between Labor Day and Thanksgiving, and then the House impeachment managers took it over to the Senate. And I am very proud of the amount of evidence and detail, the facts that we got to the American public, which painted an overwhelming picture of presidential abuse. And I think the president had to be held accountable. Now, the Senate made its decision. That is a legitimate decision the Senate made under our Constitution. And so the president will remain in office. I understand how that works. I respect it. We have a decision to make as a country in a few months that I think can be informed by what people learn during that process. I think that's really important.
Sean Patrick Maloney is a congressman from the New York 18th District. He's been in office since 2013. Sean, when we come back the next time, we're going to talk about a whole bunch of other stuff. So thank you for being with us. We'll see you soon.
My pleasure.